All right, welcome to a new week of the Gen X Guys. You got myself, JD, and Len. As always, he's waving on a podcast, so I hope everybody saw that. As he drinks coffee as well. I'm just going to walk through what you're doing right now, apparently. I'm being slow. Jesus. There we go.
So we were just talking about something. Back in, you know, the 90s and 2000s, we had, you know, with batteries, you were supposed to let them go all the way down before you charge them again. Or, you know, down because you wanted to make sure you save those cycles. You don't have to do that anymore. But I constantly still do it. I constantly don't just charge things when I have a chance to.
I guess there's two ways of looking at that. One, you just can't move past anything you've been told in the past. And so you just live and die by it, which I don't think that's the case. Or two, you're a moron. I'm going to go with the moron concept.
I go with the moron. I had to agree. It's one of those things. And the thing is, it's like, I know that it's not that I'm stuck because it's like, I know that it actually has any benefit anymore. It doesn't. Lithium doesn't have that issue, but I still fucking do it.
Well, that's good.
It's just habit. It's just habit that I know. How many stupid things do you still do that you know that you shouldn't do?
I can't think of anything. But then again, it's not like my memory is very good to remember what I might be doing that I don't do in the past. So I have no clue. I'm sure something will come to me at some point.
My other one, I got to stop working on cars. My back can't handle working on cars anymore.
Because look. I mean, that's age. You're old.
But also time. It's like one of those things that's, you know, I worked on cars not because I really enjoyed it, because it's not a necessity. Right. I didn't have the money to. It's like I had to work on it. I mean, you and I had different reasons for it, but I mean, essentially, but that's just what we did. It's like, why are we going to send a car to somebody that, especially with your dad being a master mechanic, but still, it's like, but now I start working on it. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing this for? You know, I can afford to send it into a shop and do it. So why don't I fucking do it? Because I look at the thing. It's the cheapest thing.
It depends, right? Like, if you're saving yourself some, like, taking it to for an oil change. Like, oil changes, anybody can do themselves. It's really not hard. There's two steps to it. You drain the oil pan. You pull off the filter.
Depends on what car it is.
True, depending how much excess you have, especially with newer cars, everything's fucking shoved in there and covered up.
Oil change I'll still do, because everybody will say that it only costs this much and you can be there for 15 minutes, but you got to drive there.
But then you're doing with mass production people who may just thread your bolt wrong, screw it up when they put it back, because they're doing it quick. Yeah. And I've had that a couple times where the car was leaking oil after I'd gotten it back and realized, really? One, the bolt wasn't tight, or two, it was threads were completely screwed and I had to rethread it or get a new bolt because they screwed up the bolt so bad.
I was always in a slow leak and they didn't put a new crush washer on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just wasn't tight enough.
But to your point, like, I mean, okay, so back in the 80s, obviously, 90s, you did it out of necessity. I did it because my dad wanted me to learn it all. And, you know, just to be able to deal with cars, which is, you know, not a bad skill to have. Right.
Right.
But I don't want to work on cars because I love them. I do it because I need to, even today. Like, I do it because I just want to keep them up to date, especially more classic cars than anything. Not cars I buy, like the newer cars today. Those I just take to the dealership or whatever and let them deal with it all. Because I'm not going to try to figure out all the mechanics, structure, and everything.
Yeah.
So.
I got to stop. It's just one of, like you said, if it was a passion thing, then yeah, I understand it. If you're really into cars, I mean, even with motorcycles, I still want to work on, but that's even harder because you don't have the back issues because you're not like hovering over and that, but everything's so fucking small. And tight on them. It's like, because, oh, by the way, it's not, for anybody listening, it's not cruisers. I'm into sport bikes. But
Rice rockets.
Crotch rocket, whatever you want to call it.
Crotch rocket, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I just don't, I mean, there's other things I'd rather be doing now. It's just one of those things where now it becomes, before it was no big deal. It was just, oh, the car needs, even with the truck, my truck, I recently did the timing belt. And it was just one of those things where I've done it before. This is like the second, it has over 200,000 miles, so second time I've done it. I remember the first time I did it in like 6 hours, no big deal. this one took 2 days and I kind of dragged it out a little bit more than I should have. And it's just one of those things where, like, I was looking at some of the parts going, I'm going to take a break. You know, I just didn't want to drive myself through it.
Well, so I have the 66 Classic Mustang, right? It was my parents'. And it's with me. And I wanted to change out, like, just one of the decals on the side panel, right? And so I have to get there with the 66, first to even open up the panels on side in the inside, I had to pull the whole back seat out. So yeah. I pull that out, which is actually is much easier than people think because it's not as hard to pull that out. But I had to pull that whole thing out, pull the panel down. And then if I could get my hand in there, I could loosen the nuts and put it and pull it. It took me 2 hours to get that thing off. The easiest path would have been if I then took out the whole window and mechanism. But I don't want to go through all that effort because then it's like, dude, now I have to remember how to put it all back together. Right. And so for 2 hours, I did it the hard way instead of just making my life easier and removing the piece out of the way. But yeah. It's like, okay, well, I still got to do the other side and I haven't gotten to that one yet. I mean, they're not horrible, but I'd rather just consistently, sure. You know, and look well. But yeah, it's great.
I think you have to be that there's a personality that goes through. Your dad, 100%. He just did it. And right. It's just, you know, I think one of the things is you and I always look for a shortcut too. Like, no, I don't want to do that. That's too much work. And then we end up creating more work for ourselves.
Yeah. There's always got to be a quicker way, which there is, which is the way my dad said, which is do it this way and it's quicker. But no. We feel we're smart and we know better, which we didn't. So, So speaking of cars, we never talked about this. We've talked about this, but we haven't talked about it on here. We always had disagreements. What's your favorite classic car you wish you could own?
69 Camaro.
There it is. That's right. Yours always say 68 Camaro. And we always had that year difference between each other.
Because they are different. I mean, we know that there's a little bit different with the flare with the wheel wells. There's the tail lights. There's subtle, but it's just which one I prefer. Maybe it's just because it's 69. being a fucking dumbass guy.
Maybe.
What other ones though? I mean, I know that that's both of ours, like the Camaro. Like if we're just going
to say. I would love to have that. What is it? The Chevy used in American Graffiti by Harrison Ford. I'm trying to remember what model it was. I always forget. But it wasn't the one they had in the movie. Was actually a makeshift of a couple different years that they put together because they had to roll it in the movie. But that one's fantastic. I just love the full black 2-door. That just was fantastic. So I wouldn't mind that, but it's a giant brick, right? So but it's a fantastic car, or at least if I get it to look like that, I'd be excited about it.
I was never into like Chargers or anything like that. Like you said, I think they were just a little bit too much. You know, I think like when you look at the Mustang and the Camaro and some of the other ones that are that, so, like the pony type cars, you know, they have a little bit more of the agile, not just the big monsters. Yeah, they're fast, straight line, but you know, kind of want a little bit different. But
yeah, that's true.
I mean, the thing is, you own two classic cars because of not because of your dad, but you know, because your dad was a diehard Ford guy. I remember how much he loved working on your Camaro.
Yeah. Yeah, he hated Chevys. I mean, he'd work on them. He knew them really well. I mean, obviously, he knew how to rebuild those too. But it's just the way Ford structured their engines and the layout was much easier, in a sense, to put together and understand. Not to understand, because he understood them both, but I think it was just the compartment wasn't as tight.
Yeah.
Whereas the Chevy, like especially my 77, that was a tight engine compartment. So, which I wouldn't mind having that car again, especially the color I had, the midnight blue. That was fantastic color.
You're welcome, by the way.
We've already talked about that before.
Yeah.
Where you're abusing my car's ragtop, tearing off a whole side. So when you horrible.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I had those nervous twitches when I just do like, I got to do something with my hands. And I didn't realize, I honestly, thinking back, I know that I didn't even realize I was doing it until I was like, that is me, isn't it?
Yeah. But hey, you came over and helped pull it all off when we had to sand it down. So it wasn't too bad.
That getting the our classic thing with your dad that epitomizes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's many stories for that one. Off,
yeah.
But our trying to find the quicker way always backfired immediately always with that backfired. Car. So speaking of sort of cars that lead into sports, I don't know how, but I'm going to tie it that way anyway.
Motorsports.
Motorsports. That's true. Motorsports. But we're going to go past motorsports. So I was realizing this weekend's WrestleMania, the big WWE event. Not that I've watched wrestling in a long time of any real statue, but this one looks interesting. But it also made me think, like, dude, do you remember, were you a big fan of the 80s wrestling? Did you watch it all?
I watched. I didn't want to say I was a big fan, but I watched it.
So you're not going to watch WrestleMania? You're not one of those?
My younger brother, Danny, 100%. Oh, yeah. He can't wait for it.
I bet.
But he's been into wrestling since back then, like 80s and on. He loves it.
So who's your favorite wrestler for whatever you watched?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, then this is a pointless segment. Let's move on to something
else. I'm trying to remember his name, actually. Snuka.
Oh, Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
I couldn't remember any of the sequence of the names. Yeah. That's what it was going to be. I'm like, Snuka. What the hell is the other parts? But yeah. He was fun to watch.
Yeah.
You also, Sting.
Okay.
I think the guys that had, like, the persona, you know, like, weren't just...
Ultimate Warrior.
I actually met him.
Nice.
They were doing WrestleMania at the Cow Palace.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Right? That's what... It wasn't a major WrestleMania event.
It was probably just a regular event.
Yeah, I don't think it was WrestleMania. But it was a bigger event, and they had a bunch of them. And I was working at 24-hour Nautilus, not fitness. It was Nautilus back then. And him and two other wrestlers, who I didn't know, came in to work out.
Oh, nice.
They kind of asked, you know, just keep an eye on me, the guy slips, like, gives like $10 to just, if anybody bothers them. I'm like, it's a 24 hour. This isn't a real gym. It's, you know, it's a, you know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? It's just a standard gym.
Yeah, it's for everyone. It's not like Gold's Gym used to be.
Where right. It wasn't like a hardcore.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was also a Saturday. There's fucking nobody in there. Also, the guy didn't have his makeup on. They were fucking huge. He was big as fuck. Like, yeah. I mean, I've been into gyms like Gold's Gym and, you know, back then bodybuilding gyms and worked out of those. He was big. He was fucking strong. So, yeah.
Well, he and Sting, he definitely was using during the NWA areas or whatever it was. There were so many different organizations for wrestling back then, in the 80s, that were still broken out before it all consolidated really into WWE. Yeah. But dude, okay, so you didn't follow wrestling as much, which is fine. But I knew you and I would play the wrestling arcade machine
all
the
time.
The tag team one.
The tag team one.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah, good old that one they had, like, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, your traditionals right there. Remember Big Boss Man?
Oh, Big Boss Man, yeah. With the Billy Club.
Yeah, exactly. The cop. Or the prison. Yeah,
I shouldn't just do that with my hands, you know, again, podcast.
Yeah, no one knew what the hell that you were doing. You're
just going to have
strumming a guitar, dude.
It probably looks like it, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to constantly have to remind me that, because I'm going to forget. Because we are doing the recording for video, and I just don't think about it.
It's true. It's clear as day. Clear as day. But hey, it's a good imagination. If people can kind of guess what you're trying to do at that point, then they'll figure it out.
I guess that, if there's a silence, you know that I'm doing something that's a visual thing.
Yeah. Well, WrestleMania's tonight. It used to be a one-night event. It's now a two-day event.
Really?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. And they got Dwayne Johnson back with his cousin, Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, yeah.
The reason why I bring it up is because I haven't paid attention to this. I mean, I don't really follow this generation. And, like, I think the last time I really watched wrestling of any real value was probably WCW, WWE days when they were battling each other.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, the NWO and all that stuff.
Hogan being the bad guy for a while.
Yeah, turning bad, exactly. Yeah. So The Rock's kind of playing that role in this one. He's kind of turned a little bit too, but it's hard when people really like him, but they still, he finds ways to get people to like boo him anyway.
What is your impression of The Rock?
What do you mean? I mean, my impression of him is,
I mean,
he's into a lot of things. He's very active. He's acting. He's got businesses. He's got the UFL now.
Yeah.
I feel he just likes.
Are starting to turn on him. Like, there's been like a thing where I think, especially after that whole thing that happened in Hawaii. I mean, did you?
Yeah, where he wanted people to donate. Yeah.
And, you know, it was that type of thing where, and I think what happened was after that, people started really looking at like a lot of things he does, and they wonder how much of like how he is as a good guy is really him, or is it a manufactured facade like WWE? You know, where they started seeing like all his roles are the same role, like he plays the same person. He has in his contract that he can't like get beat up, like he can't actually lose a fight in his contracts. You know how he did with how he kind of took over Fast and Furious, and just little things like that. People started nitpicking. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't really give a shit, to be honest. But it's just one of those things that kind of you started looking at, and you're like, yeah, there's something to it. And also, like, dude, I'm sorry, but he's our age, and the way he looks, and people actually go, oh, well, he's half black, half Samoan. He has genetics. That's why he looks like he does. I'm sorry. I see a shit ton of black Samoan and all that, and none of them fucking look like that at that age.
All right, but do they put the effort in? Have they lived their life consistently trying to eat a certain way and maintain that balance?
Even though he looks better now than he did at any time of his life. Being that same athlete.
I've seen plenty of 50-year-olds who look better now than they did at any point in their life.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, though, being somebody who did that his whole life now all of a sudden looks fucking huge and ripped.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So to your previous points, like the whole Hawaii thing. Yeah, I agree there. That looked bad for him and Oprah Winfrey, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the side, like to your question, you think it's a facade on how he is in real life versus how he is at home or how people. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything negative about him when they've met him in person, even just randomly walking. He's very accommodating. That's not true for a lot of other actors.
That's true. I agree.
So I don't think his is a facade. Who he is, what you see out in reality is who he really is. What he does in the ring is different. Like the whole heel thing is part of the show. And I love when people truly believe that's real. It's like, it's not real. What's real is the physical activity. That's fucking real.
Oh, yeah, they brutalize their bodies.
Oh, yeah, they do. But the storylines are all made up. Like they know who's going to win before they go there. And they're all friends, generally, in the background. So,
by the way, I'm not saying it was just because it was you brought up The Rock and
no, it's a good point. I mean, that's the perception you have with a lot of different stars. Like some stars are very good at showcasing themselves.
John Cena is one guy who you're like, in speaking of wrestler and that thing, where I mean, he's done more Make a Wish like 10 times more than anybody else for Make a Wish. You know, that kind of I think that's the type of thing that. You know, you kind of look at it, you're like, okay, he really probably is that guy that you think he is.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things also, like when you look at with social media, though, nowadays, how many of these stars get torn down? You know, they work all those years to create an image and then something gets found out or somebody sees something and it just fucking spreads like wildfire now.
Did you bring up a good point, right? And that's something I haven't really touched on, but that's a good point, right? Like you'll see people suddenly turn on an actor and then they'll do their little friggin' hashtag movement or whatever they want to do to bring them down. But it's never a large scale. The challenge for the actor in that case is a silent majority or a small majority, minority, right? Vocal minority.
Vocal minority, right,
there we go. I was eventually going to get out there.
I know, you got it eventually.
Right. The point is the vocal minority makes such a stink that corporations overreact. And 100%. They drop them out. Now, when it's things like, you know, they're known for abusing women, for male actors specifically in this case, right? Abusing women.
Right.
Or even female actresses who are known for abusing their partners as well. Whatever it is, the point is that those type of things I get when people
The question is, I think the cut you off, but one of the questions is, though, what do you mean by known? proven or
yes, allegations? Yeah, proven.
And I think that's one of the major
not allegations, because remember, you're supposed to be you're innocent until proven guilty.
Doesn't matter. But people, I see this too often. Oh, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, yeah. Right? Well, in some cases now, some corporations, because they've overreacted in the past, have now taken a stance where they wait to see how it plays out.
Which is,
if they get found guilty, then they're gone. Like, they'll fire them or no longer work with them, whatever it might be.
Yeah. To me, the craziest one is Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Honestly, to me, that's the one that shows that I don't want to make it a male or female thing, but he, with the allegations, he lost his roles. He lost endorsements. Only like, what was it? The cologne that he promoted was one of the only ones that stuck by him. Right.
Right.
All of that. When you started seeing it in the case with Amber Heard, where it was clear that she's fucking just lying, that it didn't happen, and that she was the actual abuser. So not just that she wasn't telling the truth, but she was the one who was abusive. She not only stayed on Aquaman, never got kicked off, but nobody ever said, well, let's bring you back to the role. They just decided to keep moving ahead without him. And all those endorsements never came back. That's the part that kills me. And I don't want to make this just about the male and female, but I'm just saying that's like the reaction that happens, where you're like, it's just crazy.
I think, and we could do a show on this, but so, like you mentioned, social, right? Social is the biggest driver behind this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in today's world, anything can catch fire in a minute and go. And then the media has to bring it up and say, this is trending. And then they decided to start doing stories about it.
Yep.
Which brings me to kind of back to sports, but it's just like the whole concept of saying this player is the greatest of all time, or this one's a generational talent. And it's like the media keeps saying that to make people believe it's true, right? Like, they can help direct conversations and stick with them. They do it all the time in every aspect, sports, world news. No one talks about Ukraine anymore, still being bombarded by Russia. We've moved past that now. Does that actually happen? I guess. I don't know. I don't care anymore is basically the mentality now. They've moved past it.
People got tired of it.
Yeah.
People's attention spans, they moved to Palestine, they moved to other things.
Correct. But that's the news directing their attention that way. Right? If they only focus on certain areas and they only feed you that all the time, then that's all you're going to hear.
Okay. Let me present something. Everybody always blames the news. I don't blame the news at all. I honestly don't.
No, you can turn it off.
Right? The thing is, the news is only going to try to get your attention. If you give them your attention, that's what they're going to present. So, like, people complain about Fox News. They have an audience. CNN and MSNBC are the same exact thing. They're just playing to a different thing. They don't report news. They just try to get people riled up. They just say, what is our audience? What do they care about? What's going to get them to go, ooh, I want to see what that is about. That's all
they understand. Yeah, exactly. You're right. They understand the audience because they play their stories based on that. The best one, it's funny, but if you think about it, in Ron Burgundy too, right? He goes to help start basically what's considered CNN.
Right.
And they just do pieces that just outrage people. Like, they no longer care about doing like true news stories about some great event that happened. And it does get fluffed in there, not on the national news, no longer really, but more local news still brings that stuff in. But it's like, they just want to see it get keywords that'll catch people's attention. And then they hammer it for weeks. They just hammer that same story over and over. And to your point, you can turn it off. But my point is, they're constantly hammering it. So even if you try to get away from it, it's still in your face, whether you want to or not. And that's where they continue to push. And again, it's not so much to your point, the media, it's more of just the environment and society today that they're taking advantage of. But society's allowing, you know, we allow to let ourselves be like misled, taking the lead, like the ability to kind of go out there and find your own details. Even then, you can't even trust what you're searching for anyway. So how do you know what's really real anymore outside of your own, like, best you can do is just make an educated decision based on what you have seen or know or what you found, and try and read what's, you know, there's always that gray area between a lot of these, to your point, what Fox News says and what MSNBC say, two totally different news organizations who play on both, who are both on that single side. So there's something always in between, and you just got to find that. But a lot of people don't. They just live on the quick. Why do you think Reels and TikTok and all those are so popular? People just want that quick 15, 30 second hit, and that's it.
The thing is that before you used to be able to watch like BBC News, right? You used to be able to watch certain newses that just said the news. They said what happened. There was no opinion. There was no hyperbole. There was no like anything. It was just, this is what's happening. And it was balanced. It was just giving you information and you got to make your own opinion. But to your point though, even on like people now say like, oh, I get more news from TikTok than I ever did from this. And I get that. I'm like, but again, it's, I will see, and I'm kind of thankful that I do this, but like I watch a bunch of different ones. You know, like I actually follow a few different news, you know, doing like, you know, like you said, like those 2 minute news things, right? It's easily digestible, but I'll still see ones report things. I'm like, wait, I just watched three of you say different facts about this or stating it as facts. Everybody in the comments are taking those facts as gospel, but I've just seen three, and not saying that one's far left, one's far right, one's whatever. I think that they're usually trying to do it, but I wonder where they get their news from. You know what I mean? To your point, it's like, where is the source coming from? And then I see this, and I'm like, wait, you guys just said three different things.
Yeah.
And I actually think all of you probably believe it, but again, what's your news source? But then people will see that and go, because, you know, they hear it, it sounds good, it just, it makes sense, and they just take it as gospel.
Yeah. You know? Depends who you listen to. But I think what you brought up about like three different sources, three different stories, you know, same news organization, same story, but all with three different variations of what that story really was. And it's like anything, and this is true. It's like data. You can play with data and you can massage data. You can pick data apart to create your story.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing here. They're just creating, they're taking snippets of stories, which we see a lot of times people complain and say they didn't give you the full context, which is true. They almost never give you the full context, because if they did, well, first, I'd be surprised people even listen to it all in today's society, because they're all quick snippets for just wanting it. But if they created the full snippet,
right,
or gave the full context, it'd be a different reaction. But that's not what they're looking for. They just want to get a reaction. Like, mm-hmm. Here's what they said. You can go find yourself is really what they're saying. Go find yourself what the rest of it is if you want to. But if you don't, here's the reaction. Hopefully it'll drive clicks. Hopefully it'll drive, you know, more interest in the news. And I mean, it unfortunately, it is what society is today. So I'm not here to say we can change it, because historically we're not going to change it at this point. Things just continue down these paths as we grow as a society. Or I wouldn't even say if we're growing, but as a society. But anyway, so yeah, there's that context. Not sure how we kind of slipped into that one,
maybe we can
go for it. You got something to throw it out there. Let's hear it. I'm sure people are interested.
You sure?
Well, I mean, the few people that listen. Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine growing up as a kid today with social media.
Agreed, because everybody does it. Well, it's no different than back in the 70s and 80s.
No, I think it's go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I know where you're going with, right? Like social media, because it's always there and you're always on it. And then there's ways for people to attack you on it and whatnot. Or at least that's where I think you're going with it.
No, it's not. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was going to say, it's more about you have to do it because everybody does it. It's no different than 70s or 80s or 60s or 50s. There's always something everybody does that you have to do as well, whether it's social, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whether it's whatever. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say it's how I see these generations perceiving the world. Because growing up, you know, we were like solidly middle class, right? What middle class men in the 70s, 80s, probably sure. For me, I was probably closer to the very low end just because, you know, I was raised by a single mom and then my grandmother. So maybe even lower than that. But still, we, you know, the bottom line is we didn't have money. Right. And so, but the thing is, everybody that we knew didn't have money. And right. the people that did have money had a little bit more money, right? It was like, oh, they got a VCR 2 years before we did.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's just, I mean, I think kids today think, you know, think about the TV, you know, oh, how much did the houses cost? Yeah, but luxury items, we couldn't fucking afford. A VCR was $800 in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like when we got a VCR, it was like, yeah, getting a microwave. That was like fucking a big deal. You know, but yeah. I knew people that got it like a year earlier. But I mean, you know, but nobody that we knew had, you know, nobody had Mercedes back then. Like right. somebody had a Mercedes, it meant something back then. Remember, like, I was like, oh shit, they have a Mercedes? You know, not like today where you can buy a few years old one for 20 grand or whatever. But anyway, mm-hmm. so like we only knew what we knew. I knew you, I knew everybody else in our circle, and that's all we knew. The only time you ever saw like rich families was a John Hughes film, you know, where it was the poor, you know, the wrong side of the track type thing, right?
Right.
That's all we knew. So there was really no envy. You know, there really wasn't any of that where your perception of the world was, you know, our world was, well, we went camping. We didn't fly to Hawaii, you know, all that type of stuff.
Right.
But with social media today and being able to see what they can see and the influence, I think a lot of kids today have a really distorted sense of what life is supposed to be. Like they see all these people their age, you know, living a certain lifestyle. And some of it is real. Like some of them actually do live that lifestyle. Some of them fake it or just present it in a certain way. But I mean, you know, like you said, you even brought it up. Like there's always that thing of peer pressure or anything like that. But now it's peer pressure or that expectation of what your life is supposed to be on a bigger scale, you know, and you can see it in this generation when you kind of see some of their, and I don't want to make it into the thing of, oh, this generation doesn't want to work. I don't think it's that they don't want to work. I think it's that what their perception of what life is supposed to be like is sadly distorted by what they constantly see. Because I look at it as that type of thing like, humans, we have it fucking easy compared to the, you know, if you go back for all of humankind, we fucking have it easy. I mean, people can say whatever they want, but look at our life expectancy, the luxuries that we have, cell phones, everything that we have it fucking, I mean, it's even compared to us in the 80s, you know, I mean, it's just, it's, we are living our best lives. Is it perfect? No, it's not a utopia. But I mean, go back just 200 fucking years ago, or even 100 years ago. What was infant mortality? People died of random ass shit that we take for granted today.
Well, yeah. I mean, medically, and things have obviously evolved over time. Technology, medical, medicine, and so forth. So things are definitely much better, which is why people live so long. Yeah. Which there's something to be said about the downside of having people live so long, too. True. You know. Everything
we have
in place, yeah. Just you know,
yeah.
But to your point, yeah, like the difference is, and I think this comes back to it. And you said social, but I'm going to encompass everything, like just the digital age, right? The digital age, whether it's social, internet, whatever it is. This comes back to my point earlier. Like, there's so much out there, and it's been brought up by others too. There's so much out there. You can pretty much. If you have a certain belief of a path, you can kind of search a certain way and always go and get just that news to best fit what you think. It comes back to the data concept. Like you're massaging it to what you want. And my biggest concern is people aren't like challenging themselves to look past that. Like they can't open up and understand and try and get it maybe from both sides, but at least try to dig deeper into the issue and not just think their way is the one way.
No, I totally agree.
But I think because it's so hard to find that info, because everything exists. Like back in the 80s, we had newspapers and we had local news. The newspapers had limited print, right?
If you wanted to go find information out, you had to research, and it wasn't just typing a keyword into Google.
Right. Internet didn't exist.
Yeah.
You had limited access to information. You had magazines you could get, Time Magazine, National Geographic, which was always nice. Yeah, you know. The magazines you could get, newspapers you'd get daily, but the newspapers again had limited content that they could put in a day.
Of course.
And that was it. It was done. They couldn't update it like you can today, where you can update a story quickly on the internet or make changes or add additional, you know, elements or quick news hits and suddenly it's up there. But my point is like access to information was smaller and it was very finite, meaning we could only access it that day. And that was pretty much it. We weren't going to get anything new unless like some major event happened and they cut into your programming for national news. Whereas today, there's just too much. Way too much.
It was drier. I mean, it was also just news. I think
it was just news, but I mean, we also were like, people say, you know, they keep kids like back in the 70s and 80s. We didn't care. Our parents let us roam free and do everything. Yeah. Now, is the child abduction rate the same as it was back then?
Well, and the thing is, they always say that, you know, the biggest thing is like 98% are people that you know.
Right.
Or, you know, some, it but it was just because Kerry Collins,
that was the big one, at least for us.
But but the overreaction of this one thing happened, so we need to just, we can't let this one thing happen ever again.
Well, I don't think my parents ever overreacted to that. Like,
I don't think mine did either.
No, I guess my point is that if we like,
but a society,
we didn't have access to all the news coming in saying these people have been, you know, like shootings or kidnappings or murders or, you know, all things that are happening all the time, every day. Back then, we didn't have access to that on a daily basis. Like some of the world, at least in other cities, was more removed from what we knew, primarily because we just, I mean, unless there's a massive thing, like unfortunately a mass shooting or something along those lines.
So a major event.
Major events. But the day-to-day stuff that you can find pretty much anywhere, or even if it's a smaller issue that they decide it becomes a big event because it's tied to, you know, whether it's shootings or children or some, you know, people disappearing, whatever it might be, the access is there. So you have, that's why I think some people get a little bit more locked in or more, you know, controlling to make sure they see the world, to your point, like they see the world differently. They see the world differently because it's of all the details are given and it's hard to filter through and see how does it really impact them versus, you know,
they have just a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Like I love to see, there's some people who talk on different sides where I just love to listen to them. Not because I believe much of anything they say, but I just find it kind of interesting to hear what their perspectives are on different things and how they word it. To me, that's the more important word because that comes back to like how you're positioning it. I like to hear how they're wording it and how people react to it because it's just, it just leads to the concept of like, are they able to think through that and understand that maybe this person's just BS or not? So.
Well, I know, I mean, the thing that kills me about data is that, and it bothers me that people look at the process of trying to find truth is to reinforce what they believe in. Like correct. You said, data. They cherry pick the data to reinforce their point of view, not to find truth. And that's, I think that's a big thing. As long as you even see, like, so I still follow a lot of things for health. So, like, you know, I studied kinesiology and I was a trainer. So it's still something I still follow a lot of. And you see people talk about this diet, that diet, this thing's bad for you, this thing's bad for you. And then when you're listening to them, you hear them cherry picking data. There's this one study that found this was bad about oats.
Right.
Let's ignore the other 1,000 that are saying all these positive things, but you're going to cherry pick this one thing that might be bad about oats, which look, no matter what you look, water can be bad for you. You drink 5 gallons of it right now, you'll die. Water, the one of the most essential things we have for life, can kill you as well. You can drown also, you know.
More than likely, the drowning is the key component there.
I'm just saying, like, but if you consume 5 gallons of water, you would die, right? I mean, it's just what it is. But what I'm saying is like, when you see stuff like that, and I would just focus on health just because that's how it is. But you see people cherry pick that data to emphasize a point, or they say, "Oh, this didn't happen," but then you're like, "Okay, yes, if I consumed 20 cans of diet soda a day, I could have a health problem." Again, that whole context thing.
But if you're recycling, at least you're getting money back from those 20 cans.
Right. But the crazy part is that, like I said, like you said, how people cherry pick data to reinforce what they believe in, not what the truth is.
Right. It's no different than the times of the Romans and Egyptians and all of them. They presented what they figured was all they needed to state, whether it was true or not.
Yeah.
And again, history books were written by the winners, right? So we don't know how things may have truly played out in some history because it's written by whoever won.
Yep.
It's the same here. It's, to your point, like they cherry pick. They pick what best presents their story or best provides them, to your point, the ability to enforce what they believe. Like if they can, it helps to strengthen their belief, mm-hmm. that's fine. And I mean, and that's not just, you know, that's a global thing. Like it happens in different societies.
Yeah.
I can't speak for all because I don't understand every single society, you know, as country.
I think it's human nature. I don't think it's just society. I think it's humans.
Well, yeah, human nature.
People want to attach to that. They want to believe in something.
Well, yeah, that goes way back to the times of gods.
Yeah.
Egyptian gods.
I mean, part of the reason why religion started was to explain natural phenomenon.
You know, well, it also helps to
control like
people out. Still try to figure out why they're here. Why, you know, how did it all start? There's really no clean answer to that. And there won't be. Probably, I'll be dead because I don't know when that'll ever come. But, you know, you just take with what you know at this moment in time. And then just know you're going to, this comes back to the science thing we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Like science is just wrong. And I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong. I'm just saying it's always going to be proven wrong. And that's the purpose of science because you're constantly evolving to prove it's wrong. What we know today is fine, but we know it's probably wrong because there's probably something else to it that we're not aware of. Sure. And as we learn and grow, we'll figure it out.
Even if it's 99% right, that one little thing proves it wrong. It's still wrong.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think I think what bothers people, and I've always said this about how I feel about conspiracy theorists, is they don't like that there may not be a reason behind it. Things may have happened that just because.
Yeah. Like you can't explain it sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes like as much as there's a possibility that there's life in the universe besides us, there's still the possibility that we're the only life in the universe. I'm not saying whether it's remote or the percentage wise, but there is a possibility because there's, you know, just what it is that we are the only life, that somehow something happened that we're here. Right. I mean, because think about it. Let's say life does begin. Well, how many times did life have to begin and die before it was able to reproduce or eat? Right. Life created, but evolution states that a lot of like why we have opposable thumbs, why our eyes are the way they are, there's reasons behind it through evolution. Most animals are the same thing, right? I mean, it's just they evolved a certain way to work in their environment.
Correct.
Right. The very first life that ever happened on Earth, it died. Like the reality is it probably died as soon as it was made because maybe it didn't have the right, you know, mechanisms to be able to survive, how it ate. And then how did it first reproduce? Well, you could say, oh, it reproduced this way. How do you know the first one evolved to be able to do that? You can't say that as a guarantee. So how many times did life on Earth start and stop again until, oh, it evolved and be able to do this? So there's like,
we don't know. I mean,
we don't know.
We don't know. We don't even know how humanity started. Like the first humanoids, I'll call it that, because, you know, whatever that might be.
Right.
I mean, look, suddenly we came into an existence post dinosaurs generally.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Why? What was the catalyst for that, to your point? Like, why did suddenly we just appear? Earth had been around for a million years at that point.
And they still can't explain how the other humanoids died off.
Correct. And so,
I mean, most likely we fucking killed them, but that's beside the point.
Maybe, maybe not.
We bred them.
Maybe, maybe not. I have a fun theory. I want to write a sci-fi story about at some point, but I'm not going to bring it in here.
You don't want somebody stealing. You don't want the one person listening to steal it.
No, it's not even that. I mean, I figured we'd just start talking about it for a long time. So I'm just probably save it for a different show if we want to do that. That's fine.
That sounds fine.
Yeah, I'm trying to be thoughtful here, okay? We're already gone down
You know I'm not thoughtful. You know I just fucking don't think about
this. No, I know you don't care. We've already gone down a different path.
I care.
But to your point, like, you know, we always, first off, I would say, and it's interesting because most of humanity or human civilization, we like to have this belief, at least from, you know, my short existence on this planet, so to speak, have this, from historical purposes, we always want to be free. We want to do our own things, and that's great. But when push comes to shove, we want someone to tell us what to do.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where things like dictatorships, leaderships like that, fill those vacuums.
Yeah.
But we, the game Lemmings, fantastic game, by the way. You know, that's basically what humanity can be or is in a sense. Not that they just randomly walk off a cliff and die. But the point being that
some people do.
They need. Yeah. They want to be free, but in the end, if too much freedom is left unchecked, meaning, you know, no rules, no boundaries exist, then it's just fucking mayhem because it doesn't matter. Then it's survival of the fittest at that point. So you need structure, I guess my point. And that structure sometimes comes in, you want someone to tell you what to do. Hence why you have politicians, dictators, and so forth. But we don't like to, like even back in the caveman days, they had a leadership structure. Native Americans had still a leadership structure. They all worked towards a common goal, but they still looked to one where there was, you know,
the elder,
the elders, exactly, or whatnot. They were the ones who could help them at least figure out what the next steps were. And that's just kind of how, but humanity's so big now. There's so much to it. And now they're all looking towards differently. It's just like different clans, so to speak. So I'm not sure where I'm going with this, to be honest with you. I've kind of gone on a fucking tangent.
You just kind of had enough. But I kind of like it.
Things are just coming out, and I haven't really structured it well. So anyway, you got something to say?
No. But I got something to... I think... when there was the quote-unquote traditional family structure, the man, the wife did this, blah, 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 it worked because there was structure. I think that you're seeing a change today where, and definitely, I'm not trying to say, you know, it's easy because I'm the white cis male that, you know, it sounds like I'm advocating for it, and I'm definitely not. But I think the one thing that we don't actually have today that is causing issues is we don't have that view of what that structure is supposed to be now. I think, you know, with women being seen as equals to men, blah, 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 you know, and everything. And again, I'm not saying I want women back in. Stop it. I can see that look on your face.
Well, you got to stop prefacing stuff with those comments.
I know, but it makes it seem like
you do want them, but I know you don't. I know you don't. I'm just saying.
But what I mean is there, I think there has to be a fundamental change about that. We got to, I think today there's so much about the battles. It's like, you know, women's rights, you know, race and all that. It's becoming to the point where we're swinging so much farther back, or we're swinging so much farther from what we worked towards, like in the 80s and 90s, where there was equality, trying to break down walls and segregation and separation, that it feels like more and more now that as a society, we're segregating. Even more.
Yeah, we're reversing. We're reversing direction. I think it's horrible.
I think it's like... And I definitely want like the benefits, but I think that it's just like with always, we just seem to swing so far in another thing, and everybody's becoming so tribal. Like you said, I think everybody wants that feeling of belonging, right? Feeling of belonging to a group is kind of part of what you were talking about, and I think it's getting worse now. And I think social media is a big catalyst for this because people, they get into their bubble, they get into their, you know, bias confirmation type groups that just reinforce that. And then they had a sense of belonging. And it's like, but the problem is that you start making it us against them. And I see that more and more happening now as a breakdown where it's like, I think that the societal norms that we held on to forever has to change. But I think that it needs to go into a better direction of cohesion, not this tribalism that we're really getting into.
Yeah,
it's just kind of crazy because you just see it happening all the time now. where there's just major, like, you can't say any. And maybe the reason why I also preface it is because I see how much people have this inability to say two things can be true at the same time.
Right. Well, and people are also afraid to speak their minds because in the social world, then they'll be whatever the hell that term was called, which I'm forgetting because I'm old. But to your point, yes, I always laugh because what you mentioned is what I see, like a reverse in trend, so to speak. Like if the goal, like the primary goal within just the United States alone, I know the forefathers said all men are equal, but I mean, okay, let's evolve past that. All men and women, whatever, you know, whatever. All citizens of the U.S. are equal. How about we do that, right?
Yeah.
Or just all people are equal, right? Really, in the end, it's really what we're trying to achieve. All people are equal. Jesus, I'm struggling here to get the words out correctly.
I know.
Anyway, but if we want to have that, to do that, we have to be able to remove these structures we put in place. And these structures, to your point, can be anything. It can be like support for you know, a certain ethnic group or a certain group of individuals. I mean, I have specific examples I want to call out in general, but you can see that we're creating those sort of breakouts where, you know, like the battle going on with the different unions out there. I guess the way I'm trying to put this, because I'm trying to think of how to best put this that makes sense. Because I could go all over the place, and I don't want to go all over the place. Keep it focused here. But focus. The thing is, to your point, we create borders. We create, first off, we create division, whether we want to or not, we do. You can take a look at the simplest form. We have the states, right? Each state has its own belief. Each state's implementing its own guidelines and rules that fight against core values you'd want for, you know, and they're not, in their minds, they're not fighting against it. They have a different way of looking at core values, which is a different discussion we can go into. But at every level we do it, we create this sort of separation, whether it's in sports, our favorite sports teams, the cities we grew up in, we like them, like San Francisco probably doesn't like LA and LA doesn't like San Francisco. You know, I'm using that just because of reference, California, you know, and then countries battled each other. I mean, we introduced these competitions against each other first and foremost, but we're doing it in ways where we're separating everybody out and we're specifically labeling them one group or the other this way. And now we've taken it further into society and decided to create those blockers as well, or create those buckets. And when you start bucketing people into these, to your point, you know, when we're bucketing everybody into different groups or different requirements or different needs, are we really solving?
No.
Are we really getting to the goal of all people are equal? If we keep saying you're equal, but we want to really recognize this group, or we're all equal, but you know, this new rule law needs to go into place for this, you know, whatever state or whoever it might be. But in all fairness, and I was thinking about what you're talking about. Like, dude, I wish I'd, you know, as a kid, talked to someone and asked these same questions if I'd known them back then. Sure. But to someone who was 60 at that time, like in the 80s, someone 60, because I'd love to get their opinion on what they saw change over time. Because they probably have the same view we would, which is things have gone in a direction they didn't expect, which may or may not be good, right? Depending on the perspective. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think, but it's a challenge. I think it's society. It's how we've lived historically as, you know, human civilization. It is what it is. There's always the creation of division, whether it's intended or not. It just happens.
I think people flock to it. Like you said, I think that's what people desire. I think when you talk about like these racial divisions and people creating this, doing that, and doing that, I honestly don't think that it's as much for advancement, but they want a place to belong. They want a place where they can feel safe and secure. Yeah. And but the problem is that I think the thing that people don't realize is that like you start reinforcing that by creating that you start reinforcing that racial division, sex division, whatever, nationalism, whatever. And I think it's across the board for everything. And it's like, people want to be, and what's crazy is you want to be lumped into this big group of people, but and then even the worst part is all they ever identify is the positives of that group. Like they have no objective views on it. Like we need to work on this for our group, whatever right. group it may be. Like, you know, like it could be, you know, white men. I mean, there's things that we have to work on, but it's they want to only like point at others saying, you know, we're in this group, we're here to fight together to do this, instead of a lot of times today, I think a big thing that bothers me is they don't look inward first, you know, to try to look at their group. But there's also just, it's funny, people talk about inclusion all the time. Yet when you see this stuff, and, you know, we see it at work, we see it in real life, is that everybody talks about inclusion, but by excluding people. That's the thing that kind of, like, you're talking about inclusion, but you're always bringing up these groups instead of just, I don't know. It just seems,
it's a hard, yeah.
It seems the opposite to me to say that you're talking about inclusion and bringing people in, yet you're talking about not the similarities, but the differences. You're kind of
agreed. I mean,
it doesn't seem as productive as it could be. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that I think that there's not that balance where, you know, inclusion should be, because I look at like blending as what it is. Like we both have interracial marriages, right? You know, where, but it's not that my wife is losing her Filipino heritage or I'm, you know, trying to force my whiteness on her or anything. I think if you look at like with both of our families, there's just a mix of it. And I think that's really what we should be trying to do. Like, I don't know why we went away from the whole idea of a melting pot, where it's not about losing one, it's about gaining something. And look, there are certain things about Filipino food and white food that we blend together. Pot roast with rice, fucking so much better than putting over mashed potatoes, to me. But it's like, I think we cherry pick the best of what we like from each other's, and like, hey, this works better for us, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And that's the way it should be. I don't know why we went away from the melting pot. I think that getting away from that,
I think they intentionally went away from the melting pot, by the way. I think they still think it's going there. And for some, the intentions are...
I think a lot of people fight it because they feel that they're going to lose their identity, who they are. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't give a fuck about it. Maybe it's also because of how I am about half my family, my father's side, that I'm like, fuck that side of the family. So I worry less about where I, you know, that whole idea of it doesn't matter where you've been. I mean, yeah, it matters in context of knowing where you came from to help you understand the future, but the future should be your focus, not the past.
Right.
And I think I focus on the past too much.
Yeah. And I guess to wrap this up to your point, like, you know, I know the melting pot concept, which the terminology meant something different in the past and kind of, but it's still technically the goal.
Yeah.
It's really, it's not so much a melting pot. We should just be seen as ideally humans, period.
Yeah.
How you either identify or who, what your color is or whatever, this should not matter. Right.
I think it
should
just be than race.
Right. You should just be humans, but we have countries, we have, you know, we call people with colors. I mean, even when you do job applications, you see the breakouts there too. But yeah, it's just something that has continued to be a challenge over history.
Yeah.
And one thing we didn't jump into, which is the biggest factor I think that drives a lot of this, is the emotion factor. Okay. Emotion is the biggest contributor to a lot of where these things go, the decisions made. And personal beliefs are based on emotion. People get emotional over simple things. But anyway, that's a different thing we discussed. Needless to say, I think this is a great sort of conversation we kind of drove into. It's good, fun. It was nice to talk through. Hopefully people got something out of it. If not,
you gotta write notes.
We need to hear other people's views too.
You know, we also have to make sure we write notes because we constantly say that's for a different podcast.
We'll get to it. Whatever. Fine. We're fine.
Forget about it. I don't. That's what I'm saying. We have to write it down so we don't forget about it.
Start writing it down. Start taking dictation and do it.
I'm going to do it. Okay.
All right. Sweet. You guys
talk about your sci-fi novel.
All right. Perfect. Anyway, thanks again for everybody listening. Again, if you have thoughts, comments, or like the show, you know, subscribe.
Yeah.
And also leave comments. Feel free. I mean, it doesn't bother us. People are going to have different opinions. We always love to hear them. So Thanks again for listening, and have a great week, everyone.
You too.
All right.
Yeah.